pray. We have a lot to pray about. And I can't tell you what to pray, but I'm going to ask you if you would specifically pray for Fellowship Baptist Church, that God would just give us a breath of fresh air. You know, sometimes you just need a breath of fresh air, don't you? And I'm glad that God can do that. Man cannot do that. But I tell you what man can do. Man can get a hold of the God that can do that. And so I just want us to pray. God, stir us up. Revive thy work, I think was the prayer of Habakkuk in the midst of the years. And so we'll direct our attention towards 2 John. I want to read the first four verses and just as give you an opportunity to stand, just to stretch your legs one last time. And if you would just stand out of reverence to the reading of the Word of God, and then, too, just to give you an opportunity to stand, if you can. Now, if you can't, that's certainly understandable. All right, the first four verses of 2 John. 2 John. The older unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. And not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. Let's pray. Father, would you help as we try to unpack some truths in these scriptures that would help us in our walk with you, in our fellowship with you, in our service to you. God, I pray for clarity in my mind, and you would help me to be clear the presentation of your word, and I pray that you would help this congregation of people to be receptive of the truths of thy word as they are presented tonight. Speak to my heart and the hearts of your people. We thank you for your word, and we ask you, Lord, that you would use your word to do a work in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Well, you know, I'm not going to go back. We've established some things about 2 John, and so I think it's time to move forward. We talked a little, some about the author, and we talked some about the theme of the book is obviously truth. Obviously, it's the theme of 2 and 3 John. And so I want to move forward just a little bit. Before I do, I'd like to say that I'm glad to be a part of a church that truth means something. You may or may not realize this, but we are living in a day where even in church, truth really doesn't mean a whole lot. That's obvious. I have people to contact me and say, what do you think about this church doing this? Or what do you think about this church doing that? And they're ordaining transgender bishops, and they're ordaining folks that are involved in the sin of sodomy. They're ordaining untrained men and men without a personal walk with God, and they're putting them in leadership positions. Can I tell you, brethren, those folks are not concerned about truth. Because if you're concerned about truth, you've got to make sure that that person that's presenting truth to you knows something about the truth. And I just believe when you know the truth, now, the truth will change your life. If someone tells me they know the truth, and their life has not changed, I called into serious question if they know the truth. The truth changes lives. Amen. And so I'm concerned about truth, and I know you're concerned about truth. I'm compelled by truth. I'm guided by truth. I want truth to guide me and navigate me. I'm burdened for the truth. I want to preach the truth, proclaim it. And as Paul told young Timothy, I want to guard the truth, and I believe you do too. And so we have a great responsibility when it comes to truth. Now John, as he's writing here, he's writing about truth. That's obvious. If you recall, in 2 John and in 3 John, we kind of went through in the past services, And we've talked about how many times truth is mentioned. Five times in these first four verses of 2 John, he mentions this word, truth. So I don't know that there would even be a reason to try to debate what is the theme of this book. It is obvious. Now, in some books, it's not as obvious. In this epistle, it is obvious. John wants to talk about the truth. And so he said, hey, I want to talk to you about the truth. Now, there's some things that he starts out with that we'll get to that I think is going to be a great blessing to you as it has been to me. And so when he starts out, he says, I want to talk to you about truth, and I want to talk to you about what truth can do for you and how truth is activated in our lives and the place that it takes in our lives when we acknowledge it. And so he brings that out in these first four verses, truth. And so, I started to get into that, but I have to do this. I looked down at my notes and I saw this word, and it's the word elder. You know what an elder is. Look at the way John, he didn't say John, he said the elder. You know? The elder. Now, you know what an elder is, right? Now, when you first read that, you think, okay, well, you know, there are many elders. Paul, in Acts chapter 20, called the elders of Ephesus together, and he gave them that charge before he sailed on to Miletus. You recall that in Acts 20. Well, here's John, and when you first read this, you think, well, you know, there were many elders in the day of John, and there were many elders in the early church. But now I want you to think about what John said here. He did not say, as he could have said, the apostle. He could have said that. He was an apostle. As a matter of fact, he is the only, at the time of the writing of this book, which was near the end of the first century, some people say 90, some people say 95 AD, John was the only living original apostle. He was the last one. All the others had been martyred. And here's John, okay? And so instead of saying John, the final original apostle, he said the elder. Now look over in 3 John. He done the same thing. The elder. And so I think it's interesting. Now, some may say, well, you know, I think John was saying, I'm an old man now. I don't think so. I don't think so. I can't prove that. I know some things about John. You do too. And I know how that when people get older in the scripture, they have a way of addressing that. Notice, go back if you would to Philemon. I think it's very interesting how Paul, and you know what? We all get older. I knew I wouldn't get any amen there. But that's okay. You're going to get older whether you say amen or not. It just happens, right? And that's not a bad thing. It's not. You either die or get older. I'm going to take get older. Until I die. Now, Philemon, are you there in Philemon? Now, Paul wrote this epistle, and don't know if you know the story, not going to go into it, but I want you to look at verse number 9. Paul said this, he said, yet for love's sake, I'm in Philemon, verse 9, yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged. And so, the men in leadership back in this day, they made a distinction between elder. Now, sometimes when the scripture speaks about elder or elders, it can be referring to the aged. But when the men of this distinction used it, they wanted you to know, I'm talking about my age here and not my calling or my pastoral or my apostolic authority. So when John wrote, and let's go back to 2 John, he's writing as an overseer. He's writing as an overseer. He's writing as an elder, as someone who has oversight. Now, I want you to think about this with me, because I thought about this. And what oversight he had. He was an elite elder. Now, he didn't call himself that, but he was that. Think about this for a moment. John was the only living apostle that had walked with Jesus. No other apostle was around at that time. John was the last one. And he said, I'm the elder. Listen, John is talking about truth. John walked with truth. John saw truth in action. Amen. The truth. John saw it. John was standing at the foot of the cross when Jesus looked down and he said, "Behold to John, thy mother." And he committed his own mother into the hands of this man right here. What a man John was. And here he is, and he experienced all of these things. And all of this experience goes into that word elder. All right? I mean, he saw Jesus. He saw the miracles. I mean, firsthand, brethren. Firsthand. He saw them. He was there. He witnessed them. He saw him down the cross. He saw him when he resurrected. He was there those 40 days after he resurrected with Jesus. He saw him ascend into heaven. John did, this man. And so when this person or persons got this letter, it's not just some casual writing. I mean, here's a man that's, I mean, he's carrying a lot of authority and experience. And just as this elect lady in 2 John and as Gaius does in 3 John, as it got their attention and said, "Hey, you know what? I need to really pay close attention to this." Now, we need to pay close attention to all that God's Word says. But when a man like John, with all the experience that he is bringing, with all of the things that he had saw with his eyes. He actually mentioned that, if you'll go back just for a moment. I have to do this. As you go back into 1 John chapter 1, he refers to that a little bit. He said, you know, it's different when you were there. Now, it's, you know, he said in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, he said, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard." John said, "Listen, I heard it. I heard him teach. I didn't read the Sermon on the Mount. I heard it. Amen. I was right there. I didn't hear about the blind man receiving his sight. I was right there." There, he said, "In that which we have from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, I saw Lazarus come out of the tomb." Amen. Yes. John said, I saw him sweat, as it were, great drops of blood when he came out to us as we were sleeping, and he awakened us and said, "You know, wake up. Can you not even watch and pray for 1 hour? He said, "I saw these things." He said, "Which our eyes have seen." Look at verse number one again. "Which we have looked upon, which our hands have handled of the word of life." John said, I got a first row seat, up close and personal. That's amazing. Now when you get to 2 John, when he said the elder, it's not just somebody saying this is my title. This is something that's pinned on me. I'm an elder. But not like this elder. All right? This elder is an elite elder. And at this time of this writing, he was in a class of his own. All the others had gone, brethren. And John is still writing. And he said, "The elder, unto the elect lady and her children." I'm not going to go into, I told you, I think he's writing to a specific lady, but I think that this lady had a church in her home. I have reason to believe that, and there's people who don't believe that, and that's kind of a preference, so I don't want to spend too much time on that. I can't prove one way or the other. I know this. Just like the word elder has a lot of weight to it, the word elect does too. It does. Aren't you glad that God elected to send his son Jesus Christ to die for your sin? That's what he's reminding her. Now you say, "Well, now wait a minute. Now aren't some people just elected and some people not?" No, that's false teaching. Bible teaching is that God looked down on a sinful, cursed people, and before the foundation of the world, he had already given his son to die for the sins, and not for our sins only. This same John said in 1 John 2, but for the sins of the whole world. And so God has elected me, and God has elected you. And if you're watching by live stream tonight, God has elected you. You say, now, wait a minute. How can you say that? You don't know if they're saved. No, the question is, have you elected him? The word elect means chosen. God, you see, when you go to the polls and you elect someone, you choose them to be whatever official you choose them to be. God has chosen to send his son for me. He chose me. But now, that is the divine side of it. The human side of it is, will I choose him? I thank God that I did. I thank God that I did. Have you? Have you? Have you chosen him? He chose you. He done all the work. All you have to do is turn. Turn to him from sin, the Bible says. Call upon him in repentance and faith toward him and what he has done for you. And the Bible says you can be saved. So he said, John, the elder unto the elect lady and her children. Now here we go. Whom I love in truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. Now, here's something I'd like for you to either, if you have a good memory, remember it. If you don't, write it down. Truth, listen now, truth brings us together. It unites us. Did you notice what John said? This is what truth does. Now, the world will tell you a lie. The world will say, no. Doctrine divides. Well, doctrine divides lies from truth. Doctrine divides those who believe and those who don't believe. But we're talking to the elect. That's what he said. The elder unto the elect. And so truth is something that unites us. That's the first thing I want you to see about truth. You know the reason we're here? Because of truth. Truth has united us. Truth has brought us together. But the world will say, well, no, doctrine divides. You can't teach doctrine in church. That's what divides churches. That's what breaks churches. That's what splits churches and breaks them up and tears them apart. No, that's a lie. That's a lie. Without doctrine, we have nothing, brethren. We're just a social club. You have to have something to stand on. And if you're going to stand on truth. And we have a lot of it. And so here's what he said. Notice the wording here. He said, I'm writing to you, elect lady, and I paraphrase that a little bit, but look right after that, and to her children, whom I love. Look at what he said now. In the truth. The reason I love you is because of truth. You know the reason I love you? The only reason I know some of you is because the truth brought us together. Truth brings you together, brethren. It doesn't separate. So when you start hearing that from these false prophets, when you start hearing this from these untrained, uncalled, you just know now, that's not right. We need all the truth that we can get. And we need doctrine. Doctrine builds a strong foundation. And a strong foundation will stand the test and tempting of the enemy. And so he said, whom I love, but he didn't say, I just have this warm fuzzy feeling about you. You know, there's something special about you. No, he said, the truth is why I love you. You know, I hear people say it all the time. I feel the same way. And I'm not saying this in a negative sense toward my family. We all love our bloodline kin folk most of the time. But we say, you know, my church family is really my family. You've heard people say that. You've heard people say that. Maybe you feel that way. I do. Now, I'm not saying I don't love my family. A lot of my family's saved. Now, some of them's not. And I still love them. And I'm not saying the only way you can love somebody is this way. I'm just saying this love that is grounded in truth, as we shall see in a moment, will stand forever. I can drive. I'm going to do this. I'm not going to drive. I can drive to another state and meet Christians and feel like I've known them all of my life. You know what I'm talking about. This is what John's talking about. Let me go on so you'll see what he said. He said, I love you in the truth. And he said, not just me, though, and not I only, but also, watch this, all they that have known the truth. Every Christian has this special love for each other. God said so. If you'll go back, and I'll come back here, but I want you to go back to 1 John chapter 5. Look at verse number 1. John said it, and it's true, brethren. The Lord willing, James and Pastor Dave and I will be going to Peru in a couple of weeks here, 3 weeks out, and I'm going to meet some people that I've never seen in my life. Now, some of the folks I have seen couldn't understand anything they said, but I've seen them. And the love that we're going to have as brethren is going to be unreal. Now, you know what I'm talking about. You've been there. You've been in that situation. Why is that so? Truth. Truth brings us together. In 1 John chapter 5, are you there? Look at verse 1. Whosoever believeth, I'm in 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, in other words, that born you into the family, everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Now, you can't get any clearer than that. And so you go back to 2nd Epistle of John, and he said, as an elder, been around, as an elite elder, as the remaining original apostle, seen a lot. And I will not boast, John is basically saying, but I know a lot. I know some things. Because I've seen some things and I sit at the feet of the master teacher. And he said, I want you to know that I love you. But I want you to know the reason I love you is because truth has brought us together. Brethren, aren't you glad for the truth? Truth brings us together. It's truth. You know what the most important thing in all the world is? Truth. Truth. Truth is going to determine your eternal destiny. It's determined mine. It's truth. I said last week, you're either living in two realms. You're either living in the realm of truth and light, or you're living in the realm of deception and lies and darkness. Thank God I live in the light of the truth. The truth. And so he said, it's truth that's brought us together. Oh, listen, with all that's within me, with all that's within you, search the truth. Get in the truth. Don't accept anything less than the truth now. Don't accept some fly-by-night counterfeit. Don't do that. Don't get truth mixed up with feelings, emotions. Don't get it mixed up now. It's truth that sets you free. It's truth. And so John said here, he said, I love you. And the reason I love you is because we know the truth. And it's the truth that has brought us together. That's where our love met, at truth. And he said, it's not just me loving you. He said, but all they, and that word all is all inclusive now. He did. It's not just some. Every person that's been saved loves the brethren. One of the tests that John gave in 1 John. If you are saved, you love the brethren. Amen. Now, some of them's kind of hard to get along with. And some of us might be harder to love than others. But you have a love for the brethren because we build that love around truth. It's truth that brought us together. So that's the first thing. Truth unites us. I hope you'll write that down. Because there are many who want us to accept them. Now, please listen to me here. I had this thought today, and I searched it out, and it's so. There are many who want me to accept them because they claim to be a Christian. That is not what brings us together. A profession of Christianity is not where we are united. For someone to say, I believe in God, is not where we are united. We are united around the truth of who God is, the truth of who Jesus is, the truth of the gospel, the truth of the scripture, the truth of Bible salvation. That's what brings us together. It's not somebody saying what they believe. The devil believes and trembles. Isn't that what the scripture says? James said that. And so there are many that would say, let's all get together because we're Christians. I'm glad I'm a Christian, but I want to just preface this, and I'm not saying I'm better than anyone else. I'm not saying that I'm all that, but I am what I am by the good grace of God. I am a Bible Christian, you see. Not just something that I dreamt up or that I came up with, as many are doing today. I hope you will understand this. There is a gospel Paul wrote in Galatians, please. You know what I'm talking about? That's not the gospel. It's not the gospel. Well, we got to turn there. Go to Galatians chapter 1. He essentially done the same thing to the church at Corinth in Corinthians. But if you're in Galatians, go there if you would, chapter 1. And I'm not going to spend much time here because my time's getting away from me. It always does. Galatians 1, this is what Paul said. He said in verse number 6, he said, I marvel that you are so soon. We're in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I want you to see this. Now, I'm not saying that we ought to just split hairs over everything, but if somebody preaches another gospel that's not the gospel, better, they're not preaching the truth. And I can't have fellowship with that now. If somebody believes in a Jesus other than the Bible Jesus, the Son of the living God, and there is another Jesus, there's many other. Jesus said so. He said, many shall come and say, I am Christ, or I am Christ, and Christ is here. Listen, there's many that have done that, and there's going to be more. They're of the spirit of Antichrist. Amen. And we have to recognize this. Again, look at Galatians chapter 1. He said, I marvel. He said, I'm stunned. You stunned me. I thought you were a little deeper than that. I thought you knew better. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that has called you by the grace of Christ unto another, watch it now, another gospel. I'm here to tell you tonight, many of you already know this, maybe some do not, there is another gospel, and it's being preached in our day. And it doesn't change lives now. It's not the gospel of Jesus Christ according to the Word of God, you see. And he said this, he said, verse number 6, the grace of Christ unto another gospel. He said it in verse 7, which is not another gospel. But there be some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. They add to it. They take from it. They change it. They don't stay true to the truth. He said in verse number 8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, then that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. I think that's about as clear as you can get. You say, well, that doesn't sound like love. Well, love is, listen to me now, true love. It's founded in truth. It's truth. So as you go back to 2 John, the reason John could say, I love you, in the truth, he said, because that's what brought us together, and that love is genuine. All right? It's not a love that's just an emotion that comes and goes up and down, off and on, hot and cold. That's not love. That is a mixed bag of lust. True love centers around truth. And so it unites us. Number two, look at verse number two. It not only unites us, but it indwells us. Truth. If you're saved, we're talking to the elect now. Look at verse number two. For truth's sake, which dwelleth in us. You see that? Hey, if you're saved, the truth dwells in you. And listen, nothing else will do. I cannot tell you, and if you're saved, you will be able to say, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, Pastor. I cannot tell you how many times I have sit and I've listened and someone has said something and I'm just thinking, nah, that's not right. The Spirit of God the truth. He's the Spirit of truth that lives in me says, no, that's not right. Now, you know what I'm saying. And we need to be discerning in these days. That's right. You need to be able to discern. Satan can transform himself into an angel of light. And he will come at you and make you think that it's the truth because he is an expert at mixing half-truths and whole lies to deceive people. So what did he say here? Look at verse number 2. For the truth's sake. By the way, isn't that why we are in this? We're in this for the truth's sake. It's because of the truth. Listen, the truth is what drew me to Christ. The truth is what convicted me of the faults. It's the truth that convicted me of my sin. Yes, you too. It's the truth that saved me. We have been begotten, James said in 1:18, by the word of truth. It's the truth that sanctifies me. It's the truth that seals me. It's the truth that guides my life. If I'm going to walk in the Spirit, if I'm going to walk in the will of God and do the will of God, if you are, we're going to have to do it in truth. And so he said, it's for the truth's sake in verse number 2. He said, truth indwells you. Truth's in you. It's in you. And nothing else will do, brethren. When you get the truth, nothing else will do. You can listen to all these stories and all these, you know, these things that these people are doing for entertainment purposes in the name of the gospel, and it just won't do. Brethren, I've heard the truth, and I'm here to tell you, that's all I want. When I come to worship, I want to worship in spirit and in truth. I want to hear the truth. I don't want this thing, this wildfire. I'm for fire. I'm for passion. I'm for it. I am. Matter of fact, we need a breath of it. But it has to be around the truth. It's the truth that's genuine. And so he said here in verse number 2, he said, for truth's sake, which dwelleth in us. Aren't you glad that truth dwells in you? In the spirit of truth now. And every time I hide God's word in my heart, that's more truth I'm getting in me. That's why I'm for scripture memorization, brethren. Get all the truth in you you can. You say, well, I've got the Spirit of truth. He will be able to work with you. Now listen to me. As his word is in you, as his word is in me, he'll be able to work more with me. I will be more obedient and submissive to his leading as his word is in me and as he begins to navigate and guide my life. You will too. Let me give you this last thought. And I've got to close. He said here, and she'll be with us forever. That's what got me to thinking, truth is going to see me safely home. It is. Truth. Well, we all battle with truth. But if you're saved, the truth's in you. I'm saved, the truth's in me. And so now we have decisions to make. Am I going to go with the truth, God's way, or am I going to go with another way? Could be your way. Could be my way. Could be some other way. Could be the devil's way. Could be the flesh's way. Could be the world's way. I don't know. But it's not truth. I'm going to give these to you. We may pick up here next time, we may not. I don't know, but I do want to give them to you because I think it's really good. I hope you'll go home and look at this. Brethren, this will help you. I am so glad, number one, that truth unites us. Now, the world, the false church, will lie to you and tell you that it will not. You need to get interested. We need to get and stay interested in doctrine. Truth unites. I told you before, truth brings unity. All right? Number two, truth indwells us. You see that in verse number 2? I hope that you do. It's in you. It's in you. The question is, are you going to unleash it? Are you going to let truth have her way in you? I hope that you will. His way as the Spirit of God. Verse number 3, grace be with you, mercy and peace. And I'm just going to give you a word here, and I hope you'll follow up on it. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father in truth and love. Truth blesses you. You see what you get here? You see, because truth is in me, because truth has become a major part of who I am and what I'm after and what I'm about, it blesses me. God blesses those who walk in truth. Those are good blessings. Verse 3, grace, mercy, peace. A lot of blessings in truth. A lot of blessings. And then finally, verse number 4, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. Truth controls, if you will let it. Do you notice? They were walking in truth. It was controlling. It was truth that was controlling where they went, the demeanor that they had. It was controlling their lives. Truth. Truth. Not lies. Not deception. But truth. So there's four things that truth does in our lives. Number one, in verse 1, it unites us. Number 2, in verse 2, it indwells us. Number 3, in verse 3, it blesses us. And number 4, in verse 4, it controls us if we allow it to. Is truth controlling your life? You know what happens when truth controls our lives? I know you do. Truth not only saves us, but when we get saved, truth sanctifies us. I don't know if you have your list or not, but 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Truth will clean our lives up. Truth makes us more like God because He is the truth. He's the God of truth. And He wants us to be children of truth. All right? Let's stand to our feet.